From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Hello VOA listener, how are you today? It is nice to meet you again with me Rahma, who will accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we present some information starting from news, diplomatic corner, and so forth. We will also play some songs. Now let's begin with news, so stay with us only on voanews.id, RRI Play Go mobile app, and shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz.
Here is the news, first headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo says West Java's harvesting helps increase rice reserve amid El Nino. Indonesia expressed concern over the escalation of Palestine-Israel's conflict. Afghan earthquake killed 2,445, Taliban say, as that mount. Those are the headlines, now the news in detail. I'm Daulat Pane. Indonesian President Joko Widodo said that rice harvesting currently taking place in several fields in West Java helps increase Indonesia's national rice reserve amid the El Nino climate pattern that hits the country. While witnessing a rice harvesting in Subang Regency, West Java on Sunday, as reported by Antara, Jokowi noted that the rice harvesting in Ciasem Girang village in the Regency was carried out amidst a decline in the volume of harvest in the second half of this year. In the location, local farmers harvested 9 tons of rice per hectare. Currently, around 1.7 million tons of rice are stored in a warehouse owned by the state logistic agency Bulog. The president expected the national rice stock to increase again by around 1.5 million tons by the end of 2023. The commander of the Indonesian National Armed Forces, TNI, Admiral Yudo Margono, stated on Sunday that there will be no improvement in securing the Archipelagic and Island State AIS Forum high-level meeting in Nusa Dua, Bali on Wednesday, October 11. As reported by Antara, he said, after participating in a security preparation in Bali's capital Denpasar, that the Indonesian military personnel will handle security measures independently, utilizing the capabilities of the Navy, Air Force, and Army. He expressed confidence in the ability of all parties, including the National Police and the State Intelligence Agency, to implement security measures as seen during the G20 summit in Bali in 2022 and the ASEAN summits in Labuan Bajo and Jakarta in 2023. The AIS Forum is a forum of 51 archipelagic and island states to discuss sustainable development issues. An official at the Indonesian Coordinating Ministry for Maritime Affairs and Investment said on Sunday that the sale Teluk Cendrawasih STC 2023, a maritime theme event scheduled in Papua from November 1st to 7, is expected to attract investors to the province. If investors visit Papua and see its potential, they might become interested in doing business there, said the Minister's Assistant Deputy for Tourism and Creative Economy, Human Resources, Hermin S.T. Stiowati, after delivering remarks at the STC Enchantment of Arts and Culture event in Jakarta, as reported by Antara. The STC 2023 is a national tourism agenda hosted in Biak Numfor, Yapen Island, Waropen, and Sarmi regencies in Papua, featuring maritime-related activities, including art performance and a food bazaar. A forum for investors will also be held as part of the STC 2023, and Hermin hoped that investors could identify business opportunities in Papua and subsequently proceed with investments during the forum. She also hopes that events like STC could be held annually to increase public awareness of Indonesia's easternmost region's potential. The Indonesian government has expressed concern over the escalation of Palestine and Israel's armed conflict and urged the two parties to end the violence immediately to avoid more casualties. As the Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs stated on its Twitter social media account on Sunday, Indonesia highlighted the importance of solving the Israeli occupation of Palestinian territories to comprehensively end the Palestinian-Israeli conflict. The Israeli occupation, which the ministry said is the definite root cause of the prolonged conflict, must be resolved in accordance with parameters to which the United Nations has agreed. Meanwhile, the Indonesian embassy in Amman, Jordan, has warned 13 Indonesian citizens living in Gaza to stay alert and get rid of all risk places. For safety reasons, the embassy had also appealed to Indonesians not to travel to this armed conflict-hit region. The United Nations Security Council held emergency consultations called for by Malta and later by the UAE to discuss the escalation between the Israeli military and Hamas fighters in Gaza, Palestine. Palestine's permanent observer to United Nations Riyad Mansour urged the international community on Sunday not to let Israel double down on its terrible choices, but to instead encourage it to change course. Speaking to reporters outside the Security Council chamber at the UN headquarters in New York, he reminded it that there is a path to peace, where neither Palestinians nor Israelis are killed, but it is one diametrically opposed to the one Israel has embarked on. No statement was agreed by council members during the meeting, with Chinese Ambassador Zhang Jun telling reporters on his way out that this is abnormal. Meanwhile, Gilad Erdan, Israel's permanent representative to the UN, also spoke before the Security Council meeting and described Hamas attack as Israel's 9/11. He demands that the Security Council condemn Hamas and show support for Israel in defending itself. More than 2,400 people were killed in earthquakes in Afghanistan, the Taliban administration said on Sunday. In the deadliest tremors to rock the quake-prone mountainous country in years. The Saturday quakes in the west of the country hit 35 kilometers northwest of the city of Herat with one of 6.3 magnitude, the U.S. Geological Survey said. They were among the world's deadliest quakes this year after tremors in Turkey and Syria killed an estimated 50,000 in February, quoted from Reuters. Janan Sayak, spokesman for the Ministry of Disasters, said in a message to Reuters that the toll had risen to 2,445 dead, but he revised down the number of injured to more than 2,000. He also said 1,320 houses had been damaged or destroyed. The death toll spiked from 500 reported earlier on Sunday by the Red Crescent. A Herat Health Department official, Dr. Denise, said that more than 200 dead had been brought to various hospitals, most were women and children. Bodies had been taken to several places, such as military bases and hospitals. The medieval minarets of Herat sustained some damage, with cracks visible and tiles fallen off. The last item. Hong Kong saw heavy flooding on Monday as the remnants of Typhoon Koinu brought heavy rains and strong gales, with many areas inundated with water just a month after the city was paralyzed by record-breaking rainfall. Koinu had weakened into a severe tropical storm but still brought gale-force winds and heavy rain, the city's observatory said. It was tracking west or west-southwest at around 10 km per hour as it crossed the western coast of China's Guangdong province. Hong Kong's Weather Bureau issued a landslide warning with many areas at risk after unusually wet weather. In the southern part, huge gases of water washed down Repulse Bay Road prompting the closure of some parts, while hundreds of passengers were stranded at Hong Kong's airport and metro stations as Kainu disrupted transport. The China Meteorological Administration said the storm Ai was located in Taishan City, Guangdong, early Monday, with a maximum wind speed of 28 meters per second, or around 100 kilometers per hour. China's national forecaster issued storm and typhoon warnings in various districts in Guangdong, including Zhuhai City, and suspended schools. Koinu is expected to approach Guangdong's western coast and then the eastern part of Hainan Island with a weakening intensity. Well, listener, that was the news. Here is commentary on Hamas launches biggest strike to Israel. I'm Dalat Pane. Hamas, a faction of Palestinian Liberation Organization PLO, launched a strike on Israel on Saturday morning. This was one of the biggest in several years. More than 2,500 rockets were launched to Israel from Gaza. The Hamas combatants then entered the Israeli settlement from Gaza. This triggered battles in at least 22 locations across the southwest of Israel. The battle continued in the area until Sunday morning. The violent battle claimed hundreds of lives from the two sides. As far as known, at least 600 Israelis died and 1,800 others wounded. Israel's counterstrike killed 313 Palestinians and wounded almost 2,000 others. The Israeli soldiers also stated that they arrested dozens of Hamas fighters, while Hamas also took some Israelis after the Saturday attack. The number of hostages was unknown. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said on Saturday that Israel is at war. Violent acts of the two sides continued until after nightfall. Israel launched an air strike to 426 targets across Gaza. Hamas replied with rockets towards Israel, such as the Sderot settlement, the previous battleground of Israel and Hamas. Another enemy of Israel attacked the nation. The Hezbollah militant group also shot mortar to Israel on Saturday evening. Israel countered with launching shots. Palestinian Authority had requested an emergency meeting with the Arab League. Palestinian news agency Wafa reported this on Sunday. On the same day, the leader of Arab League Ahmed Abul Gait was on the way to Moscow to discuss the situation in Gaza with Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov. Palestine wanted to discuss the latest development of last weekend with foreign ministers of Arab countries. Through the emergency meeting, the Palestinian Authority intended to talk about Israeli aggressions to the people of Palestine. Muhannad Akhlaq, permanent representative mission of the Palestine in the Arab League, stated this to Wafa. He hoped to politically mobilize the Arab countries and the world to protect Palestinians based on international law. Meanwhile, the Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry expressed their concern on conflict escalation between Israel and Palestine. Indonesia demanded the violent attacks to be stopped to avoid more casualties and material loss. Indonesia also urged the root of the conflict, namely Israel occupation on Palestinian land, must be solved according to the agreement by the United Nations. Hopefully, the solution can be achieved soon, so the violence between the two will not be prolonged and take more lives. That was commentary.
Today in history, we begin with the event of October 9, 1934. Jean-Louis Barthou, French Prime Minister, died. Jean-Louis Barthou was a French politician who served as a prime minister. During his leadership in July 1913, he introduced an allowance system for families with children. In addition, he also issued a law guaranteeing women's workers' rights before and after giving birth. He is also known for having served as Minister of Foreign Affairs in 1934. He was an important figure behind the Franco-Soviet Treaty of Mutual Assistance in 1935. Although this treaty was signed by his successor, Pierre Laval. In 1934, he also tried to form an Eastern Pact consisting of Germany, Russia, Poland, Czechoslovakia, and the Baltic states. In addition, he succeeded in getting the Soviet Union to join the League of Nations in September 1934. As a part of his jobs as Minister of Foreign Affairs, Barthou met Alexander I of Yugoslavia in October 9, 1934, when the king was on a state visit to Marseille. Unfortunately, the king was shot dead by a Bulgarian warrior, Vlado Kernozemski. Barthou got hit by a stray bullet and eventually died from losing too much blood. Moving on to the event of October 9, 1962, Uganda Independence Day. The Republic of Uganda is a country in East Africa. In 19th century, Uganda was controlled by England and Egypt. At the time, Uganda became a province of Egypt called Equatoria. In 1894, Uganda became protectorate of British Empire, and finally, on October 9, 1962, Uganda gained independence from Britain. Sir Edward Mutiza II from Edward Mutiza Walugembe became the first president of Uganda. We end today in history with the celebrations of World Postal Day on October 9th. World Postal Day or International Correspondence Day is celebrated every October 9th. World Postal Day was first coined on October 9th, 1969 at the Universal Postal Union, UPU, Congress held in Tokyo, Japan. This launch was carried out to commemorate the founding of the UPU in 1874. UPU was established as a means of cooperations and regulations of correspondence between UN members' countries. UPU is an advisor, mediator, and liaison, as well as providing technical assistance if needed. Reported by the official website of the Universal Postal Union, the aim of World Postal Day is to increase public awareness of the importance of post in everyday life and also global socio-economic development. That was today's In History.
Got to move up.
Listeners, next we present you a program called My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia discusses Indonesia's potential to become the epicenter of packaging industry in ASEAN. The packaging industry is one of the industries that has relatively high market growth. Director General of Agro Industry at the Indonesian Ministry of Industry, Putu Juli Ardika, at a press conference for the 22nd All-Pack Indonesia and the 24th All-Print Indonesia exhibition in Jakarta on Friday, said that in 2022, local packaging production is estimated to grow 5%. Meanwhile, in 2023, it is targeted to grow by 6%. Quoting the Ministry of Industry's website, Putu Juli Ardika explained about some factors that influence the growth of the packaging and printing industry, namely advances in packaging and printing technology and aesthetic demands. Increasing demand for innovative packaging from the end-user segment, especially for packaged food and beverages, and the development of the pharmaceutical industry during the pandemic have also driven the growth of the packaging industry. He added that the opportunity for the packaging and printing industry is increasingly wide open. This can occur as a result of the increase in e-commerce transactions, the number of product startups, as well as people's behavioral pattern that want things to be fast so that consumers switch to packaged food and drinks. On the same occasion, Director of Business Development of the Indonesia Packaging Federation, Ariana Susanti, assessed that Indonesia has the potential to become the largest food packaging printing industry center in the Southeast Asia region. This can be seen from the natural wealth that can be used as raw material for packaging and the maturity of the packaging industry business player in Indonesia. Quoting a report from the Antara News Agency, Ariana Susanti said that Indonesia provides a lot of raw materials used for the food and beverage packaging industry, one of which is pulp and paper, which comes from the processing of eucalyptus, acacia, and pine wood planted in Ogan Komering Ilir Regency, South Sumatra. Based on data from the Ministry of Industry in 2022, pulp and paper productions in South Sumatra will reach 2.6 million tons per year during the harvest period, which is carried out every 2 to 3 years. According to Ariana Susanti, this natural wealth is sufficient to produce the flexible packaging that currently dominates. She explained that natural wealth capital is increasingly strengthened by the maturity of the packaging industry business players in Indonesia. This is proven by the increasing number of Indonesian business people who are successfully setting up packaging factories abroad, such as in Vietnam, the Philippines, Thailand, Malaysia, and even China. The Indonesian Packaging Federation noted that the food and beverage industry in Indonesia is one of the largest in Asia-Pacific. The volume of business turnover grew by 4.6% per year. That was My Indonesia Today.
You're still listening to the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Now we present Indonesian wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people. VOI listener, today's edition of Indonesian Wonder takes you to South Sulawesi that offers a variety of interesting destinations, especially marine tourism. If you want to enjoy marine destinations in South Sulawesi, Bulukumba is one of the areas that has attractive marine tourism destinations. One of them is Aparalang Cliff, which is located in Ara Village, Bonto Bahari District, Bulukumba Regency, South Sulawesi Province. Getting to Aparalang is very easy because there are many road signs. From Makassar, you have to go to Bulukumba Regency with a travel time of about 4 hours. After entering Bulukumba Regency, you must follow Bulukumba Bira Access Road. This main road is quite long with beautiful views. After traveling about 45 minutes, you will find a sign to Aparalang on the left side of the road. Turn left and follow the road signs. The road will get narrower entering the Aparalang area. Forests and big trees will welcome you. In general, when you hear the term marine tourism destination, you will imagine a beach with a stretch of sand. At Aparalang Cliffs, you will not find the beauty of white sand. There are only rows of steep cliffs and crashing waves. This combination actually makes it look even more exotic. Cliff jumping is a favorite activity for tourists, besides snorkeling, of course. Aparalang has beautiful coral cliffs that surround it. The seawater is clear with shades of turquoise green, so anyone can see to the bottom. From the top of the cliff, you can enjoy the sea breeze, which can refresh your body after a long journey. Still from the top of the cliff, you can immortalize the beautiful views of Aparalang. To descend the cliff, stairs are available for visitors. Under the cliff, a platform has been built for resting. On this platform, there is also a board that visitors use to make a beautiful jump into the sea. If the waves around Aparalang are calm, you can snorkel at this beach. The management provides snorkeling activities. This area is also equipped with toilets and parking. Unfortunately, there are no restaurants in this area, so you have to bring your own food. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today. I'm Rahma. Bye for now.
Andaikah
Hi listeners, next program we have Let's Speak Indonesian, in which we introduce you to some Indonesian vocabulary and expressions, and we invite you to speak Indonesian language. This program is cooperation between Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research, and Technology. This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a program that introduces the Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to speak in the language. Bari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research, and Technology. Today's topic is Ngarai Sianok. Ngarai Sianok. Stay tuned. We are going to present to you a conversation entitled Tangan Terluka, Tangan Terluka, which means hurt hand. This conversation happens between Chris George Robinson, a vlogger from Australia, and Sortauli, Chris' vlog community friend in Ngarai Sianok, the Agam Regency, West Sumatra Province. Chris and Sortauli talk about Chris' hurt hand. Let's listen to the conversation.
Chris, tanganmu terluka?
Iya. Tadi tergores pintu mobil ketika sampai di Ngarai Sianok.
Ini aku punya plester.
After listening to the conversation, now I'm going to introduce some vocabulary and expressions related to the topic of the day. I'm going to say each word 2 times and you can repeat after me. Tanganmu, tanganmu, which means your hand. Terluka, terluka, which means hurts. Chris, tanganmu terluka. Chris, tanganmu terluka, which means Chris, does your hand hurt? Tergores, tergores, which means scratch. Pintu mobil, which means car's door. Ketika, ketika, which means when. Sampai, sampai, which means arrive. Plaster. Plaster, which means band-aid. In the conversation, you hear the question, Chris, tanganmu terluka. Chris, tanganmu terluka, which means Chris, does your hand hurt? In the question, there is an expression, tanganmu terluka. Tanganmu terluka, which means your hand hurts. It describes the body's condition. To describe the body's condition, you can mention the body part such as tangan, tangan, which means hand, followed by the condition, such as terluka, terluka, which means hurts. Terluka states pain or injury in the body. Let's listen to the other examples of describing the body's condition. Kepala saya pusing. Kepala saya pusing, which means I have a headache. Perutku mulas. Perutku mulas, which means my stomach hurts. There are some myths on how Ngarai Sianok was formed. One of them is that a story about the king's guard who split the land into two parts separated by a clear river. It is the region that is now known as Ngarai Sianok. Before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Chris, tanganmu terluka.
Iya, tadi tergores pintu mobil ketika sampai di Ngarai Sianok.
Ini aku punya plaster.
Well, listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for you who want to know more about Indonesian language. I'm Rahma. Sampai jumpa.
Ku ingin tahu kalau kau mau. Ku ingin kita mau hentikan itu sebelum terlambat jadi masalah baru. Tanpa terbuang ganggu selalu. Kau hidup lagi.
You're still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world only on voinews.id, RRI Play Go mobile app, and shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz. The next segment is Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
VOA listener, in today's music corner, I'm going to present a keroncong song entitled Hijaunya Negeriku by Tuti Mariati. Hijaunya Negeriku, which means My Green Country, was released on April 7, 2023. The song, which was composed by Suradi Santoso, was popularized by Tuti Mariati. The composer of the song invites us to see the beauty of the country of Indonesia. Well, listener, here is Tuti Mariati with the keroncong song entitled Hijaunya Negeriku. Enjoy!
Long Chinawi
bersamalah kita menjaganya. Indonesia Raya. Siapkanlah dirimu untuk bangsa dan negara.
Voice of Indonesia.
Seem up in the air and everything is so unfair. If you stumble and fall, just pick yourself up and see. Give up, keep your chin up and be happy. Just a ball of cherries. Sometimes it is sweeter filled with worries. Don't be afraid when things go wrong. Just be strong.
When things seems up in the air and everything is so unfair, and you stumble and fall, and just pick yourself up and sing.
VOI listener, wherever you are, that's our programs on the English program from Voice of Indonesia. If you have any comments, suggestion, criticism, any feedback for Voice of Indonesia, just drop us a line through our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, Instagram at VOI_official. Don't forget to follow us on TikTok at VOI_official and YouTube channel VOI Official. I'm Rahma signing out. I'll see you in the next interesting edition of the English program from Voice of Indonesia. From Indonesia to the world.